Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. And don't forget our podcast is also available not only at stevejonesshow.com, but also on the Apple Podcast app and Google Play. If you happen to listen to us on Apple, on iTunes, don't hesitate to leave us a review. We appreciate that very much. Steve will be back from his vacation on Tuesday, so we will continue our best of week, playing back some of the great interviews we have had. We'll also follow up on some that we had on earlier this month, including Adam Haseley, the 2017 Phillies' number one draft pick, and has been spending quite a bit of time in Williamsport with the Crosscutters over the past month. We spoke with Adam a few weeks ago. We will replay that. We will also keep the Phillies theme going. About a month ago, we had on Chuck Hixon from PhillyBaseballInsider.com, so we will revisit that with Chuck as we get closer to the Major League Baseball trading deadline, which is now less than a week away. I believe it is Monday, 4 p.m. is the deadline time. Also next hour, we will replay interviews featuring Richard Sandomir, who has been with the New York Times for three decades, and we will talk about his latest book, regarding the Pride of the Yankees, the movie that was in the early 1940s, starring Gary Cooper in the role as Lou Gehrig. So behind-the-scenes look at that movie in Richard Sandomir's latest book. And also we'll have the Keeper of the Cup, Philip Pritchard. Philip is one of three guys that just goes all over the place around the world with the Stanley Cup. At last check yesterday, he was in Russia with Pittsburgh Penguins assistant coach Sergei Gonchar and his family enjoying their day with the cup. So before he went on his schedule, the day-by-day, you know, days with the cup with the Pens players, he had a chance to carve out some time with us, checking in from his home near Toronto. So we'll revisit that with Philip Pritchard in just a little while as well. Coming up tomorrow, we have replays with Tim Frazier, the former Penn State basketball star, who was recently traded to the Washington Wizards from New Orleans, and actually that happened last month during the NBA draft. So we'll have the replay with Tim, as well as author Jim Miller, who wrote the book about ESPN several years ago, and that made waves once again, especially within the last 3 or 4 months when ESPN was dealing with all of those dismissals, letting go quite a bit of on-air talent. Also, we will have John Bacon, the author of the new book about the late, great John Saunders from ESPN. I worked with John. John and John worked on that project for close to 4 years. And it was John Saunders' surviving members and Mr. Bacon coming to the agreement, hey, this book needs to come to fruition. So it'll be released in a few weeks. Tell you more about that tomorrow, and also replay that interview with John, you, and Steve. And also we'll have baseball writer and reporter Tim Kirkchin from ESPN. We'll replay his interview tomorrow. We had a chance to talk to Tim before the All-Star break. Our email address is stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. I do have a couple of notes to share with you. Bucknell Bison basketball fans will be interested in this. One of the greatest players ever in Bison history, Mike Muscala, he has re-signed with the Atlanta Hawks. We will replay his press conference, which happened yesterday in Atlanta, so we will play that later this hour. Also, we learned later this morning A little earlier today, late this morning, we learned John Urschel, the former Penn State offensive lineman, and was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens in 2014. He abruptly retired from football today. As the 2017 season is just getting started with training camp. And, of course, we know that John Urschel has a fallback plan, currently working on his Ph.D. in mathematics from MIT. And I remember reading back in 2015, he did a write-up on the PlayersTribune.com. And he wrote about 49ers linebacker Chris Borland, the former Ohio State player. And he retired just after one NFL season because he was so concerned regarding head injuries. And there was a CTE report that came out earlier this week that was part of a story. I believe it was with the New York Times. So maybe hearing that earlier this week put John Urschel over the top. But 2 years later, after that write-up that Urschel had in the PlayersTribune.com, he has decided to retire from football. And Ravens head coach John Harbaugh issued a statement this morning. John informed me of his decision to retire. We respect John, respect his decision. We appreciate his efforts over the past 3 years and wish him all the best in his future endeavors. So after starting 13 games in 3 seasons in Baltimore, former Penn State lineman John Urschel going to devote himself to math full time. All right, Best of Steve Jones Show continues here on WKOK as we replay some of the great interviews that we have had over the past several weeks and over this year. And a guy who really spends a lot of time digging deep into what's going on in the Philadelphia Phillies baseball farm system is Chuck Hixon from PhillyBaseballInsider.com. He made his appearance here on the Steve Jones Show recently.
Time now, and very pleased to bring in from PhillyBaseballInsider.com, Chuck Hixon. Chuck, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. Glad to talk to you.
Hey, Chuck, let's get to a couple things. Obviously, there's a process going on here, and of course, the process can be a maddening one for everybody from club to fan. So in this process right now, where do you think the Phillies are?
Well, I think that they're disappointed with how some of the young players have responded this year, especially some of the pitchers. And that's a little bit of a concern, but, you know, I think that they're getting there. You know, they've got young players. Young players are going to be inconsistent. They're going to make mistakes. And, you know, you just have to kind of ride it through with them. There's still a lot of good young players in the minor league system. So, you know, it's not like there isn't more help coming. They've still got some guys that they can go to down at Lehigh Valley and Redding and all through the system.
I want to get into that part now because obviously I'll give you the name of a player that a lot of fans have pinned high hopes on, and that's J.P. Crawford. But, I mean, mm-hmm. He's been hovering under 200 during the course of this season. Is there any concern at the fact that the moment he seems stalled?
Well, the Phillies won't come out and say that. You know, Dusty Watson, the manager at Lehigh Valley, you know, talks about how he's hitting balls hard and, you know, he's working hard. And, and that's all well and good. But bottom line is that he's hitting 194, I think it was. And he didn't have a great season at AAA when he came up last June, it was. You know, so there has to be some concern when the guy that is supposed to be the top prospect in your organization is hovering around, you know, the 200 mark after a full season at AAA. There's got to be concern to that. So, and when you talk to other scouts, a lot of scouts from other ball clubs all along have not been quite as high on J.P. Crawford as a lot of people in the Phillies organization have been.
There's also the other part, and I know from all the years I've done football, basketball, now baseball, that you really realize at some point everybody develops at their own rate. And does that have to be taken into account sometimes with a young player like J.P. Crawford?
Yeah, it does. You know, if you watch minor league baseball, you'll find that there are some guys that, you know, every time they move to a new level, there's an adjustment period. Now, JP has been up at AAA for over a full season now, so he needs to have gotten past that. You know, I just think that, especially in talking with other scouts from other teams, you know, I don't look at J.P. Crawford as a guy that's going to be a superstar ball player in the majors. I look at him as a guy who's going to be a good shortstop, maybe make a couple of all-star games. But if anyone is counting on him being, you know, the next Jimmy Rollins, I wouldn't quite put him at that level.
Well, let me throw another one out, and he's injured again, and that is obviously the big problem. But I look at a guy that is a quintessential leadoff guy with so much speed. If they could get Roman Quinn healthy for a consistent period of time, is he the kind of prospect you think can be a jumpstart kind of guy for the Phillies?
Roman Quinn is one of the more exciting players you're going to see, but five straight seasons now he's had injuries, and not just where he goes on the DL and misses a couple of weeks. I mean, you know, we're talking fractured wrists, we're talking Achilles injuries, so he's missed considerable time in each of the last five seasons. He is, you know, everyone looks at Odubel Herrera. If you want to compare the two, Roman Quinn is a smarter baseball player than Odubel Herrera. He's faster than Odubel Herrera. Some people compare him to Billy Hamilton of the Reds. I had one scout tell me that he believes Roman Quinn would be Billy Hamilton, but hit about 20 or 25 points higher because he's smart. He knows how to make contact better. He's a better bunter. He'll do that to get on base. He's one of the more exciting players you could ever want to see, but you don't get to see enough of him because of the injuries, and that's really unfortunate because there's no doubt in my mind he would be in Philadelphia at this point if not for the injuries.
Excellent point, Chuck, because I know in the New York Penn League, probably I saw him in a dozen games because they played State College, and he's the fastest player I've ever seen in the New York Penn League. That, like, creates more problems defensively because of his speed.
Yeah, and where Odubel Herrera, let's say, takes a lot of bad routes to fly balls but makes up for it with his speed, Roman Quinn doesn't take a bad route to a ball, so he's going to get to more balls in the outfield than a guy like Odubel Herrera. And he's very baseball savvy. You know, he'll drop down a bunt when, you know, to get on base. He'll hit the ball the other way. He does the little things that you have to do to help win a ball game.
All right. What about Nick Williams, who was acquired in the trade from Texas? Where do you think he is in all of this right now?
I've been impressed with Nick Williams this season. He was a guy that had a bit of an attitude and really wasn't the most mature player. Coming into this season, though, somebody got through to him, something got through to him, I don't know, but he's a much more mature player, taking the game much more seriously. His biggest problem right now is that he will swing at a lot of bad pitches. You know, we talked in the press box the other day, if you want to get Nick Williams out, throw a pitch down by his ankles. You know, he can't lay off that down and in pitch. But he's really made a lot of strides, and I think he's getting very close to being major league ready.
I know they just called up Cam Perkins, and I really liked him watching him in the minors.
Yeah.
And the other two guys I wanted to mention, Brock Stassi, obviously, and then Rhys Hoskins. It seems like the Phillies have done a good job of drafting or signing really good, in terms of size, first baseman with power to pull. What do you see in those three guys? Perkins is obviously an outfielder.
Yeah. The biggest thing that comes to mind with all three of those players is their attitude and their approach to the game. You know, those are three guys that do whatever the manager wants them to do. You know, you look at Cam Perkins. He came up as a third baseman. They moved him to the outfield. He's learned all three outfield spots, and he's a plus defender at all three outfield spots. He can also play first base. In a pinch, you could move him back to third if you had to. And this year, he volunteered to be the bullpen catcher when both of the catchers at Lehigh Valley were in the lineup. And apparently he caught in high school, and he told Dusty Watson, look, I'll work in the bullpen with some guys, and if you need an emergency third catcher, I'm your guy. And you love that in a player. You know, Perkins, Stassi, and Hoskins are all real solid, good young ball players. I think Hoskins is the best of that group. He's a guy who I think they may very well shop Tommy Joseph to make a spot at first base for Rhys Hoskins. He's pretty much major league ready. And, you know, another month of ball at AAA or so, and he'll definitely be ready. And they can put him in at first base and probably put him in that lineup, you know, for the next 10 years. He's a solid everyday first baseman.
Yeah, you know what? Watching him when he was here at this level, you know, I always project guys to AA. I said, that guy's a quick automatic AA guy. I never project a guy to the major leagues. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
When they're here. But I can project them to AA, which is the make or break level. You could see in Rhys Hoskins, there was just something there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got power, and he can also hit for average. And he's a real smart ball player, again, like Quinn, as is Cam Perkins. And, you know, the players like that, they find a way to do the things that you need to do. He'll take the ball the other way. You know, Cam Perkins will come up, sees the infield's back, you're down by two, and he'll drop a bunt to lead off an inning. You know, they just know how to play the game. And I think those three, in some combination, can help the Phillies, you know, for some time to come.
You know, I look at, for example, I thought Ben Lively, I think he's pitched well lately for the Phillies. Obviously, Pivetta had that really fabulous outing against the Red Sox, against Chris Sale, and did well there. But I want to ask you about two guys that are down at Lehigh Valley that are still there, and that's Jake Thompson and Mark Appel. And, of course, Appel at one point in his career was the first overall pick of the draft. I mean, bloated ERAs, not great strikeout-to-walk ratios, not great ratios of innings pitched to hits. What are there concerns about Thompson and Appel at this point?
Well, Appel, you know, he seems to be starting to put things together. He went 8 1/3 innings the other night and really pitched well against Pawtucket. You know, he shows flashes of being a really good pitcher, but then he'll go out and he'll just get ripped apart. So I think it's just getting that consistency and the confidence. Jake Thompson, his downfall came when they brought him up to Philadelphia last season. He was admittedly nervous, and the Phillies did something that I think was incredibly stupid. Bob McClure came to him and said, okay, we know, you know, you're nervous and you're having trouble transitioning. Let's change your mechanics and simplify it.
Good
now, this
boy.
Is a kid that was the International League Pitcher of the Year. Let him get over the nerves. Keep the mechanics the same. And he has not been the same since that point. And he said earlier this season, it really threw him. And he was in that phase where kind of he was caught in between the two mechanics and was having a little bit of trouble with it. Now, again, his last outing, 8 shutout innings. You know, he's a guy that I think will get it back together. But I think the Phillies really messed him up and have wasted half of the season with him.
You know, it's amazing. There's a reason why you get to a point. Now, I can understand maybe let's try and add in a pitch, and at a certain point we'll let you use it in a game.
Right.
But there's a reason you get to a certain point in your career and you're confident in that. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And, I love talking to old-time scouts. And there's a guy who is retired now. His name is Ben McClure. Was a scout with the Milwaukee Brewers and a number of other teams. And he was a minor league coach with the Cardinals years ago. And the philosophy with players was don't change their mechanics at all. No matter how bad they're doing, don't change their mechanics until they come to you and say, I need help. Because then they're going to be open to changing their mechanics. They're going to listen more to it. They're going to get more out of it. If you start changing things, a lot of players kind of look the other way. And they don't fully believe in that because, like you said, I've made it to AAA and I've pitched pretty well with these mechanics. Now all of a sudden you want to change what I'm doing? And the Phillies, unfortunately, have a history of changing mechanics for hitters and for pitchers. And I think one of the guys that they had so messed up was Dominic Brown. He would literally change his stance at the plate during an at-bat. He would be changing. And I think he was just mentally lost.
Chuck, this was absolutely fascinating. I appreciate the time and all the information that you gave us on the show today. Chuck Hixon from PhillyBaseballInsider.com. Chuck, thank you so much.
No problem. Glad to join you.
That was really, for a Philly fan, that had to be a segment of tremendous information from Chuck Hixon. He gave some great evaluations. I mean, not good. He gave some great evaluations along the way. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Four city blocks of new Ford trucks. Over 40,000 trucks sold. SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 110 new Ford trucks. And during July, they'll include a complimentary accessory package. With the purchase of any new F-150 through July 31st, receive a tonneau cover, molded splash guards, and window deflectors at no additional charge. SMC is where you want to be because they have the largest selection of new Ford trucks in all of central Pennsylvania.
And that means the biggest savings.
Take up to $13,500 off on new F-150s. And SMC has them starting as low as $23,919. Save up to $7,000 on 2017 Ford Escapes. And they're slashed as low as $19,380. Explorers, Edges, and Expeditions have discounts up to $11,000. SMC is where you want to be in July for this mega summer spectacular sale and the complimentary F-150 accessory package. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
F-150 accessory package valued at $699. Excludes prior sales and ordered units.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Steve back from vacation on Tuesday. I'm Sean Carey. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 2017 Phillies number one draft pick Adam Haseley, now with the Williamsport Crosscutters. We'll replay that conversation with Steve soon. First up, this day in sports history. This is a great one that you can maybe score a little coin on with your buddies over a couple of pops. 1918, Brooklyn rookie Henry Heitman made his major league debut and his last major league appearance in the same day. He threw four straight hits to the St. Louis Cardinals, left the game, and never played again in the majors. 1984, Pete Rose passed Ty Cobb's record for most singles in a career. It was his 3,503rd base hit. 1986, Greg LeMond of the U.S. became the first non-European to capture the Tour de France. 1992, Boston Celtics star Reggie Lewis died after collapsing on a Brandeis University basketball court during practice. He was only 27 years old. 1996, a terrorist bomb exploded in a crowded Centennial Olympic Park during the Atlanta Olympic Games. The death toll might have been far higher if not for security guard Richard Jewell, who hours after his heroism was called a murderer. 1996, we'll stay with the Olympics. Canadian Donovan Bailey ran the men's 100-meter dash. His time, 9.84. Previous record was 9.85, held by Leroy Burrell of the U.S. And primetime, Deion Sanders announced his retirement from the NFL this day in 2001. And that's a look at this day in sports history. Bucknell Bison fans, got some good news for you. One of the greats ever to step foot in Lewisburg, Mike Muscala. He is re-signed with the Atlanta Hawks, and this was his press conference in Atlanta.
My first free agency experience, so, you know, different for me, but I worked a lot with my agent, obviously, and kept a good conversation with him, and really excited to be back to Atlanta. You know, this is obviously where I started and where my fiance is from, so we're excited to be back.
There's a lot of changes in the offseason. I made a list of the players by age the other day, and you're in the upper half of age as opposed to the lower half.
Wow.
Is it going to be different being one of the veterans at this point?
It is going to be different, yeah, and to hear you say that too. But, you know, it's exciting. Obviously, yeah, you know, a younger team this year, but I think it's just going to be – I'm excited for the opportunity, and I think just being back in Atlanta, being back with Coach Bud and teammates that are back, you know, I think – I'm just excited to get to work and just to take a game by game and compete every game.
What are your plans for the rest of the summer from now, between now and the first day of training camp?
We'll be back in Minnesota for a little bit. We got a house there, you know, that's where I'm from. And then we'll be back here in Atlanta end of August pretty much all the way through open gym in September, and then into training camp, and then it's full go time. So try to get a good mix of, you know, getting home a little bit in Minnesota a little bit, and then just, you know, getting ready to go here.
Mike, what is your what have you been working on this summer from a basketball standpoint to maybe get an increased role with this team now that you know kind of the roster?
Yeah, definitely continue just to, you know, shoot a lot more threes and feel more comfortable and consistent with that, and being able to get to more shots in more one-on-one settings, you know, whether it's in the post or driving from the perimeter, you know, being able to do more than, you know, making that open shot or that one move shot, you know, having one or two, three moves to be able to go to, not just to score necessarily, but to be able to pass off of that too. And then physically just being in good shape, you know, using the time for my body to get stronger and more explosive, and, you know, having that time where you're not traveling as much and everything, so you can kind of build up that strength and endurance.
Mike Muscala, during his press conference in Atlanta, he has re-signed with the Hawks. Bucknell Bison fans, so proud of his accomplishments so far. And how funny is it now? One of the oldest members of the team. That's what happens when you finish one contract and start another. By the way, we will have more NBA conversation. Tim Frazier, former Penn State great, now with the Washington Wizards. We will replay his interview with Steve tomorrow here on the Best of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK with Sean Carey here. Earlier this month, we had a chance to talk with Philadelphia Phillies 2017 number one draft pick, now with the Williamsport Crosscutters, Adam Haseley.
Current Williamsport Crosscutter Adam Haseley joins us. Eighth overall pick in the draft. Philly's first-round pick, off to a great start with the Cutters after going through the GCL with complete ease. Adam, welcome to the show. Welcome to the area. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Happy to be here.
All right, let's start with this, Adam. Your parents, I believe Dan and Mary Kay, I believe are their names, actually came out and finally had a chance to watch you play, and when they did, you homered.
They did. They came out Friday afternoon. They were there for Friday and Saturday, and it was actually my dad's birthday on Saturday. So it was just a cool couple days, and the first night that he was there, you know, that the homer happened.
I have to correct myself. I think his name is Rich. It's Rich and Mary Kay.
Yes, it is.
Hazel.
Rich.
And then some youngsters got the ball, and what did they do with it? Instead of keeping it, what did they do?
Yeah, I saw them after the game, and at first they wanted me to sign it or whatever, and then they told me that it was the actual home run ball. So I asked them if I could switch it out with one that I had in my locker, and they said yeah. And so I actually got to get the ball for myself, and then I ended up giving it to my dad, kind of like a birthday present.
It's a great birthday say present. You pitched, and not only that, you were a really good pitcher with Virginia, ninth in the nation in ERA. But who was it that told you, though, that, you know what, if you play the field, that really is your path? Who told you that and why?
Well, I think it was a number of people. It was also kind of my decision, really. Playing the field is something that I've always really enjoyed doing, and I enjoyed pitching too. But I just, found more excitement and joy in just being able to play every day and getting to hit. And so that's really kind of what made the decision. And pitching had always been kind of secondary. And going into college, I didn't pitch my freshman year, and then my second and third year, I was able to pitch a little bit more. But, in the back of my mind, I always wanted to hit, if I ever got a chance to go into pro ball.
Yeah, well, you were only second in the ACC in ERA. You were eighth in wins, and you were ninth in the nation in ERA. So, obviously, that little dalliance in the pitching wasn't that bad.
I enjoyed it. I really did. It was something that, there's nothing really like it when you're in the game. And the only, I guess, drawback is all the kind of extra work you have to do for both pitching and hitting.
I want to ask you about the transition from college now to playing pro ball. What are some differences, not just in the game itself, but really even off the field? What are some of the differences between being a pro and in college?
I think the biggest thing, honestly, is just routines. And, if you can solidify a routine for yourself from day to day, then it's something that you can look forward to and rely on. And, college, you have different classes at different times and different events and things like that. And, pro ball is just kind of know what you're going to have the next day. And, it's something that you can just rely on when you wake up, what your schedule is going to be.
15 players from this draft that you were in are now playing for Williamsport. Has this really been a bonding experience for the draft choices looking ahead down the road as a group together?
Yeah, it has. I got there a little bit late down in Clearwater after the draft, and most of those guys came up here while I was still down in Clearwater. But, when I came up here, they welcomed me back, and it's just been really cool to bond with them, like you said, and get to play these games with them. And, I hope we can all just continue to move.
All right, now let's get to the going into Williamsport. As you know, they put $4 million into that ballpark. Those are Major League dugouts. Major League Baseball paid for the field that you're playing on, all part of this August 20th game between the Pirates and the Cardinals. What's been your impression of being there, and what do you think it means to the organization to have that kind of facility now?
The surface, it's just the first thing you can tell when you go play, and the outfield is, amazing, and it's all level, and it's everything is just perfectly cut, and, it's just, it's just a blessing to be able to play on, that kind of surface. And I wasn't here, and I didn't hear anything about the old surface or stadium, but I'm just really excited that, I had the chance, and the other guys had the chance to play on that kind of field.
Bart, you go from one level to the next. Any adjustment from one level to the next for you? Anything that's just a little bit different here than you saw in the brief period of time you were in the GCL?
I think, as you keep moving up, the pitching is going to get better and better, obviously. And, arms are just going to be that much better, and guys can locate a little bit better. And the secondary stuff will be, just a step above where, you previously came from. And the hitting, too, and the fielding, too, is going to be, better. And guys are going to be hitting the ball farther and faster. And I don't know. I think it's just something the guys are going to be older, and it's something you're going to have to adjust to.
Growing up, what other sports interested you?
Growing up, played basketball, played football a little bit, but it was mostly basketball and baseball growing up.
And then what finally just swung you to baseball? Just how good you were at it, or was there something else?
I wasn't really good at basketball. It's pretty short, kind of small. So I think it was by default that I had to pick baseball.
Well, they couldn't make you the 6'1 point guard.
No. By that time, I was in the five somewhere.
In the fives ain't going to make it unless you're Muggsy Bogues. So.
Right.
So make sure we know that. So when you finally got going at this thing, who were the influences on you that made a difference in teaching, maybe even made an outside influence on you as you came through this thing, as you developed?
I think it's a combination of coaches, college coaches at Virginia, Coach Kuhn, Coach McMullen, Coach Kirby, Coach Brian O'Connor. I think those guys played an immense role in helping me learn the game and mature in the game. And then, I've had some mentors and some guys that have been really pouring into me from, just a kind of a spiritual aspect, too. I come from a faith-based home, and I think just a combination of those two things kind of set me up for, be able to have success in college and being where I am now.
I was talking with Daniel Castano of State College the other day when I had him on the pregame show here. And the same thing, he talked about faith-based and what it has meant for him. What has faith-based meant for you off the field, and what kind of influence is it, maybe even a calming influence on the field?
Off the field, I think it just sets me up as the man that I want to be, how I treat people, how I, handle my family and, the relations that I have off the field. And, on the field, too, it just kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off that, I feel like I'm playing for a bigger purpose, and it's not just all about me, and it's, I was given these abilities to, kind of glorify the person that gave them to me, and, that's just something that I kind of play in freedom with, that I have this ability, and now I just get to go play.
Does it take the pressure off of being, hey, look, that's Adam Haseley, he's the first pick of the Phillies, hey, that's Adam Haseley, he's the eighth overall pick in the draft? Has the faith part of it allowed you to put all that in perspective?
I think big picture it has. There's going to be some obvious immediate attention of, some of it that I didn't really even see coming. I never really thought I'd be, where I am today. And but big picture wise, I think there's a long plan here, and I'm just going to continue to focus on myself and just try to keep things light and big picture.
All right. In college, obviously, you have a routine. You go to class, then it would be baseball in the afternoon, could be a game, could be a practice. In the fall, there's fall baseball as well. Now, what's your routine as a professional? How do you spend that off time?
Are you speaking about the off season?
No, I'm talking about like now. I realize there's certain times, now this is an off day, but there are certain times, where you have to be at the ballpark and so forth. But you're now out of the college routine where instead of going to class, you've got to fill it with other things. How do you try to fill that extra time?
I think there's just more time to do, some hobbies and try to get away from baseball as much as you can. This morning I actually went fishing with, a couple guys. Austin Bastille was one of them. Just try to get away, from the everyday grind of playing games. And so I think there's different things you do. You just try to stay relaxed and go to dinner with some guys or try to get away and go hiking or fishing or whatever you have to do. Some mornings or some days you just got to get your mind off of the game.
So are you an outdoors guy?
A little bit, yeah. I grew up on a lake a little bit and close to a beach, so I enjoy the water, like fishing.
Okay, all right. So is it a secret spot you went to today, and if not, where was it, and did you catch anything?
We did not actually land a fish. We went fly fishing for the first time. But it was a little cold in the water. We didn't go at the best time. Went at like 9. So we didn't really plan it out too well. But, we went with actually one of Austin's host parents' friends actually took us. And I really couldn't tell you where we went. It was off in a trail somewhere. And we were just lining up on a riverbank. So if we were to do it again, we probably should have done it that night. And when they were feeding, but it was all good.
Well, maybe at some point I got to get you hooked up with Joe Humphreys, one of the foremost fly fishermen in the country. He's here in State College. The long list of big names that have come out to fish with him, you'd love it. But that'll be for another time, another place.
There you go.
Okay. One final question. I'll let you go. As you move forward with this, where in the last period of time do you feel like you've improved your game? Where you feel like you're a little more comfortable? Where you feel like you're getting a little better? Where is that right now and why?
Mental consistency, I think, is the best thing that I've been working on a lot in this spring, in the winter. And it's really been tested, I think, you know, just playing every day. It's tough to be locked in and focused every day. But I want to, you know, keep working at it, keep bringing my best, you know, mental focus I can each and every day. And, you know, I think if you do that, that's, you know, more than half the battle is just being locked in. So I'd say mental consistency.
I lied about the last question. This will be the last question. I was talking with Tim Frazier, who played last year with the New Orleans Pelicans in the NBA, and he was traded to the Washington Wizards a couple weeks ago. And he said, in going through the NBA schedule, he said one thing that really struck him was that all of a sudden you'd get to the middle of December, you played 30-some-odd games and realized, that's how many games I played in college. I still got 50 games to go. Now, I realize in college baseball there's a 50-60-game schedule, but is there a grind to this everyday part that you as a young player have to get used to?
I think there's no doubt a grind to this thing, and I've only been doing it for 2 weeks, and, you know, some guys have been, you know, playing since March or whenever, you know, spring training had ended and the seasons had started, and it's every day. I mean, it's seriously every day. It's a grind. It's, you know, you can't take a day off, and it's much more of a grind than college is. You get a couple, you know, 3 or 4 days off a week, and it's, you know, something you can't really prepare for until you're in it. So it's something that I'm trying to get accustomed to and trying to get used to.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much on your off day for giving us your valuable time, Adam. I appreciate it. I wish you nothing but the best of luck, not only this summer, but as you make your way through the system.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Adam Haseley, Williamsport Crosscutters, the Phillies' first-round pick, 8th overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Not only an outstanding baseball player, but you can tell what a class act he is. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.